Your home for Titans football and the University of Tennessee Volunteers. 104.5 The Zone.
Day 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. You can download the Edley's app and see the entire lunch menu for today. Alongside Chad Withrow and Paul Koharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Pleased to be joined by Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, presented as always by Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. They're online at fbhp.com. Mack, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you this morning. Looking forward to it.
Before we get to Paul's news of the week that involves your expertise, I'd like to first talk a little ball with you.
All right.
In regards to the eye in the sky that's not being considered this year, based on what you've been told across the league with all the calls you make week to week, why do you think they tabled this idea?
Well, I mean, the reasons that you hear, and again, when I talk to people, is they don't want to jump into anything and just be so knee-jerk like they were with the whole New Orleans Saints thing. I mean, that was an embarrassment last year. I mean, it really was. You know, the way that thing was handled. You know, with Jeff Fisher was involved with the competition committee at a very high level, you know, for 15 or 16 years, and so all the years that I was with him, you know, I understand. You know, the procedures that they go through. And I mean, look, I think it's very important that they do sit down. And myself personally, I think it would be an aid. I really do. I think, you know, if administered correctly, I think it would be a big help, because clearly there needs to be something else done. Because, you know, I think right now that at least as far as just the fans of the National Football League, you know, go, I mean, they've got issues with the way some of these things are administered, and it wasn't helped last year by the way it was administered from New York with Al Riveron, you know, with the whole pass interference thing. So I would like to see them consider it. I just think that in the people that I talk to, they don't want to rush into it, but I think they need to consider it, and they need to talk about it and talk about it in some real intelligent, forward-thinking ways.
And they need to discuss things like, could they retroactively place a flag on the field that wasn't previously there? Pass interference, holding. I mean, you can argue holding happens on every snap, offside penalties, an assortment of penalties that could end up being on the field that were not there. And on top of that, you got to get these guys trained up on exactly what you're looking for and what you're not looking for.
Yeah, I mean, it would clearly take, you know, again, as I said, you know, there's plenty of smart people, you know, in the National Football League, they're involved in this, and they can do this. It's just the amount of time it's going to take, and to really try to parse through it. As I said, I brought up the fact that when Jeff Fisher was heavily involved with the competition committee for 15 or 16 years, and I would talk to him, you know, prior to meetings, after the meetings, and I know that all of the rule changes that were implemented during his years, having, you know, talked through him with him, with the procedures they went through, the things that they've talked it through, you know, for quite a while. And so I think this is important. I mean, I really do. I don't think that, I mean, clearly we're not going to see it voted on this year, but I think the discussions will continue. As far as the people that I've talked to, the discussions on this are going to continue. This is not tabled forever.
And Paul, a discussion to come up with the final solution. Here's what I do know. They do not want to lengthen the time of a game. So if you need to discuss it further to figure out how you implement the sky judge without extending the 3 hours and 5 minute average, I understand why you want to table it and discuss everything through.
Well, I know they're concerned with the time windows for TV, but again, they're not playing to their constituency here, because I don't know a fan that wouldn't say add 5 minutes to the game to get things right. And they're not prioritizing getting things right above other things that are less important to their fan base.
Mack, one important storyline of the show this week and inside Paul's home is puppy number two. I know that you know about this because you brought it up to me last night asking if Paul had picked out the puppy yet. And I think today we're going to discuss whether or not he'll be adopting a male or female.
Well, you know, and to me, I first of all, I think it's very commendable, you know, for Teresa and Simon wanting to rescue another puppy. I'm all for that. I think that is so commendable for the Kaharsky household doing this. I just know
we're
you're what?
There's been no further conversation last night outside of Teresa sending me some links to some dogs who were exorbitantly expensive, which is not happening in this house.
Okay, well, anyway, I'll go ahead with my commendable comments for Teresa and Simon, you know, to bring in a new dog, you know, to integrate in the household with Finley. I know this. I've been around dogs for all of my life, have done a lot of things with dogs, have had people that have brought in another dog to an older dog's domain. It takes some work to get that done. And it also takes some real positive, you know, karma as far as on the owner's part, because the dogs have to kind of get used to each other. So you might want to bring positive PK into this process, Bob.
Oh.
I'm just thinking about that. I mean, that might be something you would like to bring in there. I don't know what type of dog you are trying to get. I do know this, that a lot of it depends on the type of household that you have. You know, but, you know, I heard, you know, Jonathan informed me that you wanted some type of smaller dog, but that was quiet. And most smaller dogs aren't real quiet.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
What I want doesn't exist. So I guess we can't do it.
Well, just give the description of the type of dog you want. Like, you want a small dog, lap dog, no barking. What else?
Gets along with Finley great.
Lazy, I think was a word you used.
I like a nice lazy dog, because there's not going to be a lot of walking.
Okay.
And also I've seen some of these things say no electric fence. Somebody, am I using the right term? It's an electric fence to me. Somebody else, invisible fence. No invisible fence. Well, I invested it in a visible fence. If there's a new dog in this house, it's going to have to be an invisible fence dog.
Well, Mac, you are the Google machine when it comes to dogs. So based on that description, what type of dog comes to mind?
See, no dog.
Well, I mean, I'm not really sure there's a, you know, a smaller lap dog that's lazy that won't bark. I mean, you
there
know,
you
I,
go. My dog I, doesn't exist.
I had heard the mention of a Maltese, and those things talk a lot. You know, because they need a lot of attention, and they're great dogs, but they're very vocal. I mean,
you told me you had a friend who had a Maltese that sent some audio.
No, he absolutely did. You know, I've got you remember when we went out to Arizona that year and went to my friend Jim Sharp's house?
Yes.
And, you know, went to dinner, and he had small dogs, and I've got recordings of. Wow.
This is a David Reed production. I call BS on this being actual McGinnis audio opposed to David Reed production.
He sent it to Reed. Reed, do you have that? Here's the Maltese. Paul, your thoughts.
If Rhett Bryan was currently working, I would bet on that being Rhett Bryan.
That is an ankle biter right there, is what that is.
That's what a migraine sounds like.
I asked my friend, send me one of the more quiet moments of your Maltese, and that's what he sent me.
That sounds that makes Finley's bang sound terrific.
I mean, look, I'm of the group, I'm certainly the most anti-dog, even though I'm not fully anti-dog. Someone explain to me how you would pay top dollar to bring that noise home into your house, into your home, around your family all the time.
Kirby is sending me a text right now. This is for Coach Mack, too. Dachshund, okay. He's telling me. Now, I think a dachshund is an ugly, ugly dog. Misshapen. It's kind of like Chad with the torso and the legs. It's the Chad Withrow body.
Great dog. What I'm hearing is terrific dog. That dog, virile, very athletic. Just terrific animals.
It can hit the
knees. Wow. Misshapen. Wow. Okay.
All right. Also, you're getting a Maltese. I can't wait to hear that in the background. For the record.
Maltese that Teresa sent me a link to. You know how much they are? Guess an over-under on this dog.
Maltese?
Yeah.
I'd probably say $2,000 to $3,000.
Some of them were $5,000. I sent her back. I said, are you looking at the prices on these dogs? And she just sent me back like a laugh emoji.
That's the Gandalf beard breed.
That's a good one. I mean, look, for a dog to talk that much, you need to pay.
This is not going to be a purchase that's made over here.
Our next guest, we will file into the category of who does Coach Mack know? Everybody. Rod Graves is the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, and he will join us. He doesn't do many interviews. And we covered this last week, Paul, on a discussion about the Rooney Rule, adding to it and what was tabled. And Rod Graves is right in the thick of all that discussion on behalf of the Fritz Pollard Alliance. He advocates for minority representation within NFL teams. And Rod Graves will join us next. Coach Mack sticking around as well. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
As we shelter in place, we're still bringing you the best in sports talk. The Sports Station. 104.5 The Zone.
Coach Mack with us on the show here at the 180. Each and every day right here on 104.5 The Zone. Mack presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And Mack, our next guest in regards to pro football has been a scout, a general manager. He has worked as an executive within the league itself, and now he's the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which advocates for minority representation for NFL teams.
Yeah, Rod Grace is joining us, and Rod and I, and, you know, go back 35 years. We started at the Bears, and so it's been 35 years of not only a professional relationship, but a very a personal relationship too, and a very good friend. Rod is highly respected in all circles of the National Football League, as you mentioned. Started out, you know, as a scout, you know, first of all with the Philadelphia Baltimore Stars, and then Bill Tobin hired him at the Chicago Bears, and he was there with Mike Ditka and Bill Tobin through all those great years. I spent 10 years with Rod in Chicago. Then when I went to Arizona, you know, Bill Bidwell wanted to hire Rod as the assistant to the president in Arizona, and Ed McCaskey recommended him to Bill Bidwell. I mean, he's held executive positions throughout the league in his 35 years, and now as executive director of the Fritz Pollard Association. I mean, very highly respected in the league, and I am very, very fortunate to count him not only as a good professional friend, but a very good personal friend. Rod, thanks for joining us this morning, man.
Well, Mac, thank you for such a kind and warm introduction. I have to say to you that, you know, back during that time when we were both in Chicago and in Arizona, I developed a great admiration and friendship, a very special friendship with you. And, you know, I'm not sure that I've gone into as much on how that relationship benefited me, but your professionalism, your rapport with the players, the respect that they had for you, your communication skills and your attention to detail, all those things made a huge difference for me and my career because I was able to really apply that standard when we talked about hiring coaches and evaluating coaches from year to year.
Rod Graves with us.
Very kind of you, Rod.
On 104.5 The Zone. Rod, we spent time last week reacting to the proposed additions and enhancements to the Rooney Rule. Were there discussions not highlighted in the reports this past week that went around that could potentially be something we could see announced a bit later?
Well, you know, this has been a very comprehensive approach by the NFL to address the issue of lack of diversity in leadership around the league. Let me just point out, guys, that this has been a significant problem for decades. And this is the first time that the league has stepped up to address it to this level of attention. There are aspects of it that weren't necessarily mentioned. You know, there was talk about some of the hiring initiatives and so forth, but there's education involved, bias training. There's a requirement that all teams establish a diversity and inclusion plan, that there's money allocated for pipeline development. You know, there's a call for data collection and information transparency. reporting and networking. There's a whole host of areas that's included here that, quite frankly, has never been approached by the league at this level. And it shows the significance of the issues and what they are attempting to do to address it.
Is this the most progressive you've seen the league in making a commitment for minority hires?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and while I applaud the attention displayed by the league on this issue, you know, I do want to underscore the fact that we still got a long way to go. You know, what we've experienced with the league over the past week or so, or really for the last 3 months, is that we went through a period with the involvement of the Fritz Pollard Alliance of ideation. We talked about forming of proposals, and last week we adopted some of the key measures of that initiative and plan. But we've still got to go through a period of implementation, of monitoring for compliance, for evaluation, and then making adjustments. And this is the type of approach that we've discussed with the league in order to ensure that we're staying with a sustainable plan that gets us to the numbers that we think are more representative of fair play.
Rod Graves is the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which advocates for minority representation in the National Football League.
Rod, it certainly created a great deal of buzz when the idea of draft pick advances connected to minority hires was floated. It ultimately was tabled. There was a lot of speculation that it was meant to generate that conversation and then be scaled back as they executed the proposals they actually wanted. What did you think of those proposals and of that idea of connecting some kind of draft pick rewards, if you will?
Well, let me address two of the proposals that have gotten a lot of media attention. And the one that did pass, we call it the mobility proposal. And really what that allowed for is assistant coaches, position coaches, to be interviewed without any restriction for an elevated role of coordinator. And so if you are an assistant a position coach, and you get a call for someone interested in talking with you about an offensive coordinator position, defensive coordinator position, or special teams position, regardless of the number of years left on your contract, you are allowed to interview without any resistance from your current team. What we're hoping for down the road is that opportunity is extended to other positions. I think because of the influence that the quarterback coach position has on the offensive coordinator role, I think that should be one that people should be allowed to gravitate to if there's interest. I also believe that it should be extended on the business side, where we can give opportunities that flow into the president's role or to the chief operations or chief officers roles. Or executive level VP position. So again, there's opportunity there to even do more, but certainly it's a big step for teams and assistant coaches to be able to have career growth and career opportunities, and that proposal certainly ensures that will happen. With respect to the incentive proposal, here's where I thought the league fell short. That proposal that was withdrawn, and for good reason, is it really addressed only half of the equation. What we as the Fritz Pollard Alliance proposed is that an incentive program be developed for those that hire and develop talent, as well as those that hire talent, but those that identify talent and hire and develop that talent. And much like free agency as we know it today, if you're in a position where you hire, develop, and those guys become attracted to the other members in the National Football League, and you lose that person, then you're eligible for a compensatory pick. That was the concept we thought would be most attractive, and yet the league only addressed half of it by coming up with a concept that addressed hiring, and that had a very negative reaction by many in the let's just call it the African-American community.
70% of NFL players are African-American. One argument you hear about African-Americans not getting as many opportunities as coaching is that there's not a lot of African-American players who desire to go into coaching after their playing careers as much as white players. We're going to ask Rod about that when we come back.
It's the 180. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Because Paul Kuharsky complained and complained that 4 hours just wasn't enough. Get the 180 at 6 tonight from 6 till 7 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
We continue our conversation with Rod Graves, the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which advocates for minority representation for NFL teams. Coach Mack on the line with us as well.
Specifically talking about head coaches and general managers in the NFL and looking at the fact that 70% of the players in the National Football League are African American. One thing that comes up frequently in this discussion that I've heard, Rod, is that, well, maybe African American players, when they retire, they don't want to go into coaching or they don't want to go into front office work and become a general manager. What would you say to that argument?
Well, guys, you know, the NFL has over 30%, somewhere between 30-35% of coaches of color in the league, and many of which have been former players. And so the fact that we consistently are met with a pipeline argument to me just doesn't hold water. You know, I think that there are candidates out there who have done a hell of a job, have really excelled at their jobs and their positions as as coaches, and yet they don't get the opportunities. And that's really what the issues are. I don't care if you're talking about experienced coaches, people like Jim Caldwell and Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles. I could go down the list of line and talk about guys with experience, or we can talk about guys who are up and coming but have shown that they are at least prepared. And that, you know, Eric Bieniemy stands out as one. Why can't those guys get the opportunity, as we see often are given to the counterparts across the league? We're just looking for a level playing field. And so the idea that there aren't enough candidates or the pipeline is not strong enough, to me, is a very weak argument.
Rod Graves with us. Rod, the system as we know it has catered to who you know more than what you offer. And I think you can say that across the board in a lot of different lines of work. It's more than just your resume. So what are solutions to cracking that code to where you have owners, you have hiring processes that make people feel more comfortable with people they don't know? Because I think it's only human nature to pick up the phone and call someone you know for advice instead of making a cold call nowadays.
Well, I would ask the owners at the end of the day, how well has that worked out for you? I mean, when you start talking about the amount of money, dead money, that owners incur having to pay coaches that they hired that did not work out. To me, they are to be as motivated as we are to ensure that a better system, a more effective system for hiring is in place. The NFL makes billions of dollars, and we really should be motivated to find a better system of hiring. One that can identify talent, one that certainly can hire talent and nurture talent, and then give people fair opportunities to come in and display and interview and so forth. We've not been given that type of opportunity, And after 100 years of NFL football, of professional football, to say today that we have two general managers who are African American, we have four coaches of color, head coaches of color, we have zero presidents, very few people in the C-suites, people that affect strategy and vision of clubs, and even at the highest level in the NFL office, to say with those numbers that we've made progress after 100 years, to me is shameful. And the fact is that we haven't made progress, and we haven't had a plan in place to sustain levels of diversity. And I think it's just time for a change.
It seems like there's some easy ways. Everybody makes it out to be very complicated. I wish I could remember the details of the story, and you may know it and be able to fill them in. But I've read recently of a minority coach who found his way into the pipeline, at least, by being part of a presentation he made at an owner's meeting. And the idea that these presentations become a regular thing, where some of these guys get a more frequent opportunity to present in front of owners and then mingle with them at a cocktail party, at hors d'oeuvres, at whatever, at these fancy owners meetings where the owners are going to be anyway on a regular basis. Something like that seems to be a rather simple way to get people in the same room chit-chatting. And those chit chats, we know, have a way of turning into the kind of connections where somebody might remember somebody.
Well, you know, I think those are all wonderful ideas, and we are certainly working to try to do more of that. We're working with the NFL to try to encourage more networking opportunities, and you know, we'd like to have decision makers, particularly owners, more involved in those networking opportunities. It's not a new idea. It's something that the NFL has been engaged with, and we'd love to see more of it. But the issue, once again, with all of these programs is that, you know, we're greasing the pathway to better decisions, but yet at the end of the day, those decisions aren't being made. And I think until there's some accountability and until there's some level of commitment with respect to a fair playing field and ensuring that opportunities to those based on meritocracy is a focus and a priority, then I think we're still subject to seeing the same kind of results that we are currently experiencing today.
You know, a random thought I'm having as I'm listening to this, I know you were the son of a scout, a longtime scout, and then you started with the USFL, as Mac mentioned, in your early 20s. And then I believe, Rod, you became one of three scouts in the USFL that became an executive in the NFL. I would imagine that having some of these leagues like the XFL and others actually become stable would help out the cause tremendously in trying to get those, you know, face-to-face conversations that Paul just brought up.
No, it's absolutely the USFL had a huge impact, not only on me, but on the careers of many, many players and coaches. And some of those players went on to become head coaches in the league, and or at least assistant coaches in the league. But just the opportunity for experience, the opportunity for growth and so forth is certainly something that other leagues provide. And I think it's something that we certainly should support. Hopefully we can get back to it. We talked about trying to come up with another league that the NFL, you know, that's under the NFL's umbrella. For various reasons, that those conversations seem to peter out. But I do think there's merit to it. And again, the idea of more networking opportunities, another league, all of those types of ideas, I think, are credible and certainly should be supported by the NFL.
Mac, when do you first recall meeting Rod Graves in Chicago?
No, I remember exactly when I did. I mean, I came in there in February after they'd won that Super Bowl, you know, from the 85 season. And of course, the 86 Super Bowl, I was hired about 2 weeks after that was over with. And so I came in, and Rod was the right hand man at the time. He and Jeff Shiver, who has been with the Bears now for nearly 40 years, you know, were the two main scouts in there. And Rod came in and introduced himself to me and said, if there's anything I can do to help you out here at the Bears, please feel free to call on me. In fact, Rod and I were next door neighbors. We lived next door to each other there in Lake Forest. And so, you know, I mean, I got to know Rod very, very quickly when I was in there. And he was one of the first people that came in there. And one of the main things he told me was, look, there's a guy that works here named Richard McMurrin that you think is a janitor. Don't ever think he's just a janitor, Coach Mack. Don't ever treat him like a janitor. He may be Ed McCaskey, who, you know, was the chairman of the club, and Mike Ditka, who we clearly know who he was. He said he may have more influence on those two than anybody in the building. So be careful how you treat him, not as a janitor, but as Richard McMurrin.
Well, Mac, you know, that just reflects the various personalities around that building that very few people know about. You know, real quick story about Richard McMurrin. He, when I first came into the Bears organization, I'd only been there for a few days. And I knew he was the custodian, but I remember my wastebasket was overflowing to a point where, you know, trash was falling over to the side. So after about the second day, I decided to take my wastebasket down and empty it myself out of frustration. And on my way to the wastebasket, I run into Richard McMurrin, and he says to me, Graves, what the hell are you doing? And I said, well, my trash is overflowing. It's running over to the side. He said, look, I don't tell you how to scout players. Don't you dare come in here and try to do my job. So,
Rod, please let me piggyback on that real quick. When I was first there, okay, you know, when I was asking Louise Johnson, who was our receptionist at the time, my wastebasket was the same thing, my trash, and I said, who's in charge of this? And she said, well, that's that Richard McMurrin. I said, oh, that guy that walks around here in the bow tie? She said, yes. I said, good. So he came walking by my office. I said, Richard, excuse me. And he stopped at the door. And I said, you know, this wastebasket is full here. I said, could you maybe empty it or just, you know. He looked at me. He stuck his hand up. And, of course, you know, he had a Super Bowl ring from the year. He said, you have one of these? I said, no, I don't. He said, when you get one of these, then you can talk to me about your trash. And he walked off.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah, well, guys, you'll never know and appreciate what a tremendous character he was.
Wow.
You know, God rest his soul now, but he was something else. And when one thing I remember was when Coach Ditka had, you know, big events that he had to appear for, Richard was his driver. And at the time, one of the cars that Coach Ditka owned was a Rolls Royce. And so, you know, Richard would go over and put on a tuxedo and all of that. And all of a sudden, now he became Coach Ditka's driver. And I'm telling you, the stories that Richard shared with us about what took place in that Rolls Royce. I mean, I tell you, again, we'll keep this show clean, but I it's just one of the, you know, things that we encountered while we were there. It was a great period of time, great people, but at the same time, very professional and outstanding, and I learned a lot from those individuals.
We've got to get Rod here for a Mac Hutt dinner, the Blitz dinner, Mac, for these off-the-record chats.
Well, absolutely. He would be a great contributor. Rod, thanks so much, man. This has been great. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you, guys, and good luck. Thank you for giving us a platform to talk about these issues, and hopefully we'll see improvements here down the road.
Thanks so much. Rod Graves has been our guest. Stick around. More coming. 104.5 The Zone.